Well, folks, we've been talking about this day for some time, and I am excited to finally reveal what we have just been kind of hiding. And, you know, it's interesting because every time we have a Mission Sunday, it seems like something unique happens. Every time there's a diverse speaker that comes from a different part of the world or is doing something in a different region of the world. But today we are blessed to hear something I don't think any of us have ever heard before, and that's what makes this so special. So let me tell you a little bit before we introduce our speakers today. So as I indicated in the first service, many of you might not know this, and this is certainly not about me, but I was at one time a realtor, and it was probably the worst year of my life. I didn't enjoy any part of it, but I did get to meet some really, really great people. And as part of that, some of those people actually now attend our Covell Community Church because of that. And so I'm grateful that God provided me that opportunity. But it's interesting because when you're a realtor, you get to kind of meet others. It's a unique brotherhood and sisterhood, if you will. And so these people are very close, and I realize that. And so when this name came up, when I heard the Lippig name, I remember thinking, I know that name. Why do I know that name? And it became clearly evident to me that I had seen these folks either before or maybe just a sign that might have been in the yard. What's really interesting is that that our guy today that's going to be speaking comes from a real estate and a construction background. And so obviously that's when it all clicked when my wife came home and said, you're not going to believe it. This is one of the most incredible families you'll ever meet. And I was so excited, and when she said the name, that's when it clicked. So we've been talking about this for some time. We have all been called to go out and fulfill the Great Commission. And as part of our missions program here at the church, we realize that if we can't go, we want to go with them. And by that I mean, we may not be there physically, but we'll be there spiritually helping them and financing them and guiding them as much as we can. And so today we're going to have that opportunity, but today you're going to meet one of the most unique and incredible families that has responded to God's calling in a way most of us probably would never even consider. So please welcome to the front of this church one great family and two special people who are going to give you a wonderful presentation, Mark and Kathy Lippig.
So when Chad introduced us the first service, we were kind of blown away by that introduction. That's pretty amazing. So we really are so thankful and grateful to be able to be here and share with you guys today just what God has been doing in our life and the journey that he has had us on. So really thank you so much for allowing us to be here today with you. We never anticipated that we would be moving overseas or that we would be doing long-term ministry in a place other than Bloomington Normal. Like Chad said, Mark has been a real estate agent and a home builder since he graduated from Illinois State University, and he grew up here. I joke that I'm married to a townie. He has lived here all of his life, and he loves Bloomington, and we joke about the fact that he's always said he would be completely fine with living here amongst the cornfields. That is where he is happiest. And I'm from Beardstown, Illinois, and graduated from nursing school in Peoria, Illinois, and moved to Bloomington in 2001. And I began attending a church, E-Free, in town, and I met Mark there. And we started teaching twos and threes Sunday school class together. And that's kind of how we began dating, and now we've been married for 14 years. And we have three kids. That is Grant, Alex, and Nia. Grant is 12, Alex is 11, and Nia is 9. So several years ago, we started going on short-term mission trips through our church. And our eyes were just really opened up to what God was doing around the nations. And so we kind of figured we would just kind of stay on that track. Doing ministry here, we've done lots of stuff with international students and taking short-term trips and whatnot. But over time, we began seeing that the Lord was maybe leading us in a different direction. And so a way that God opened the door is that a friend of mine was traveling to Italy with a sending agency called Team Expansion. And they were going to be doing a missionary retreat for their people that were serving throughout Europe and Asia. And she said, would you like to come and help with this retreat and head up the kids program? So I thought, well, that sounds like a really cool thing. So I went. And by doing that, I met a lot of great families serving throughout the world, as well as Italy. And when I was there, I felt like the Lord was kind of laying it on my heart, like maybe this is something you should need to think about. But honestly, what I'm thinking in the back of my mind is, I know Mark is not going to go for this. And really, like, I just, you know, it's kind of like you feel that prompting a little bit, but you kind of like put it back here. But incredibly, when I got home from that trip, and I talk about the fact that I just know that it was the Holy Spirit, because you know how when like you have those moments and it was so clear and impressed upon your heart, we were both standing in the kitchen, and he said to me, you know, while you were gone, I felt like maybe the Lord was saying, like, maybe we should consider Italy. And my mouth dropped, and I thought, this is crazy. And so from that point on, we just thought, okay, we were just going to, like, take a little, like, baby step, you know, one step at a time and see where the Lord would lead us. And so we filled out an application with Team Expansion, and we began Skyping with one of the families that I had met, and this family was on the mainland in Ancona, Italy, and doing a great ministry there. So we Skyped with them, we talked with them, and we really loved them. And so we kept thinking, okay, it seems like this is kind of the direction that we're going. But then over time, as we really prayed and sought the Lord, if that was what he had for us, and we were excited about this, we really felt like we became united in the fact that that wasn't it. And it was kind of disappointing, and it was one of those things where you think, oh, like the wind is out of your sails. You know, we were kind of really excited about this, and all of a sudden we realized this isn't it, and we didn't know what the Lord was doing, but we figured, well, then we're just going to keep praying, and we're going to keep asking the Lord to show us what he wants, and we'll just keep taking the steps forward even though we don't know what's going to happen in the future. So
we did keep taking those steps, and part of that was doing more training. And about a year and a half ago, we did training down at Team Expansion's campus down in Louisville, Kentucky. And in that, it was a week-long training. I went out into the woods on a Friday, the last day of it, just to spend time with the Lord and to seek him out and to say, is this really what you're looking for us to do? And because people would ask us, they would say, when are you going to the mission field, Mark? And I would say, I'll go as soon as he tells me. As soon as he tells me, I'm there. And, you know, because I love the corn and soybeans so much. And so it was kind of a way for me to get out of it. But you know, this was real now. So I went out to spend time with the Lord. And it was right after lunch. I spent about an hour and a half out in the woods. They have 60 acres there with prayer stations throughout the acreage. And I was crying out to the Lord, reading scripture. And I said, God, just tell me. If you want me to go, just tell me. Just say so and I'll go. And he said, the best way I can describe this is, he told me in like a gentle, loving father, he said, I will not force you to do anything you don't want to do. And my response to that was, well, if you're not going to strong arm me into that, then where would you have us go? And he said, go up the hill and I'll show you. And so I walked up the hill weeping. And this is what I saw, this photo here. Is what I took this photo. And this photo, it doesn't tell us where to go. Yet I had no confusion on it whatsoever. And about 2 or 3 hours later, we met with the training was over for the week, and we met with the Team Expansion president, Doug Lucas, who knows of all kinds of situations throughout the world where there's opportunities for missionaries and needs. And he at that point had told us about the crisis with refugees on the island of Sicily, which we were both on the same page with Italy, and it just was a total fit for us. So
we knew when we were sitting there that, you know, Doug was going through all of the different places where they had Team Expansion workers throughout the world, and so we're listening and, you know, we're thinking this through, and then he talked about Sicily, and he said there are thousands and thousands of refugees, and most of them are coming from Muslim backgrounds. And it is just, you know, God has made this this crisis, which is a terrible thing, and turned it into a way for people to be in a place where they can hear the gospel. And so we were sitting there, and it was just like all of a sudden the light bulbs came on, and it was like, Sicily is Italy. And so it is Italy. It's just not what we thought originally.
And so through this sign here, we believe that God was telling us to go to the nations. And in the refugee camps, there are so many nations present. So that's what we're doing. And so we're going to show you a quick video here of how the refugees are going across the Mediterranean up into places like
At first, it was just a tiny smudge on the horizon, dwarfed by a merchant ship nearby. But as we moved closer, we were able to make out human forms, around 50 people, we thought at first, packed into a rickety wooden fishing boat no more than 40 feet long, bobbing in the open sea.
Okay, understood. 20 minutes, we arrive in the area.
On the bridge of the Italian Coast Guard ship Fiorillo, the captain had received word that someone from the boat had used a satellite phone to call for help. The migrants were just 40 miles from the Libyan coast, well outside of Italian waters. But the law of the sea dictates that anyone who can help must. Two small launches to make the first approach. The crew threw bags stuffed with life jackets to the migrants. It's one of the most dangerous moments in any rescue. As desperate passengers surge towards their rescuers, boats like this often capsize. Eyewitnesses say that's exactly what happened in last weekend's disaster. Women and children are always the first to be taken off, and we were shocked by just how many there were. The Coast Guard ferried the migrants back to the ship before returning to collect more and more, an operation that lasted into the night. On this rescue, the final count, an incredible 301 migrants in a 40-foot fishing boat. It's a process that is being repeated day after day across this strip of the Mediterranean by Italian Coast Guard crews led by officers like Arturo and Certi. Last year, more than 170,000 people made the crossing.
It's not easy to see every day for months people in the deep sea obliged to make this travel because they are escaping from wars, from bombs, from dying, and it's a human experience that is very hard to accept.
They're so desperate, these people.
They have nothing to lose. That is terrible to understand.
Many were in a state of shock, wrapped in emergency blankets. They were given a basic medical checkup and some food.
From the moment they set foot on this deck, these migrants have reached safety. But they've also, in a sense, crossed a border, because being rescued by the Italian Coast Guard means that they will reach Italy. And that is something they were willing to risk their lives for.
So you can see that it's a business for smugglers, and they're loading up the boats as much as they can. And the law of the sea, as you heard on the video, was anybody that can help must. And so if they don't do anything, it's going to be an even worse catastrophe. And so they're doing what they can. Italy, the Italian Coast Guard, is doing what they can to help these people and bring them in and get them to the point where they can start taking care of themselves. Anything you want to add to that? Okay. This shows, the gray lines are showing some of the routes that these individuals are taking to go up through the Sahara Desert. The Sahara is lawless land. There's trafficking, there's tribal conflict, there's all kinds of Boko Haram. They're fleeing Boko Haram. They're fleeing all kinds of horrible situations there. No economic opportunity, things of that nature. They go up through there. Sometimes they take a year to go up through the Sahara, which is a, a horrible, it's much worse than the boat. And finally, they go to places like Tripoli, which was where those red dots are, red dots there. And then they sometimes have to work even longer in order to pay smugglers off, okay? And so that's where trafficking takes place, and we've seen videos about that. Really horrible stuff that happens there. And then they go out into the sea, 40 kilometers out into the sea, and they can call for, put a distress call out, and that's where they get rescued.
And when we were there, we took a vision trip to Catania last January, and we wanted to just go and meet the missionary families that were there and see what their main focus was, what their vision was for the ministry that was happening there. And so when we were visiting one of the refugee camps, it was an underage camp, so all the boys that were there were under 18, and I met a 13-year-old from Egypt, which I thought, you know, I have a son who's going to be 13 in June, and I can't believe that he made this trek by himself. He was hoping to be able to reach his brother who was up on the mainland of Italy at some point once he got all of his paperwork completed. But something that we were surprised by is that, you know, on the news you hear and you see the pictures of the boats and you see the pictures of the people being rescued and things like that, but you don't hear about this trek through the Sahara Desert. And many of them did have pretty traumatic stories about that trip and about what it took to get there, you know, being robbed and beaten and imprisoned and things like that. So
this is showing the red arrow is where we will be living in the city of Catania. Catania is a population of around 300,000 residents, but there's around 200 refugee camps within an hour and a half drive from Catania. And so we find that it's a very strategic location for evangelizing the nations and doing mission work there because there's just so many people there. And is there anything you wanted to,
I don't think so.
Yeah. So that's the island of Sicily, and that's where we'll be at. Italy is, when they get to the camps, these individuals are there for sometimes 2 or sometimes 3 years. And we feel that they're going to be more open to the gospel message. They're going to be, they'll have less familial and less cultural pressure on them to conform to their home country or through their to the way that they've been raised. And so we think they're going to be searching for hope in these situations. And for that reason, it's an incredible opportunity. A camp would consist of anywhere between 20 or 25 juvenile kids in a downtown building, all the way up to over 2,000 men, women, and children in a military family housing unit out in the middle of the countryside. That was called Mineo. The Mineo camp was guarded with machine gun soldiers and German shepherds, barbed wire fences, and that sort of thing.
Not the most inviting place. When we pulled up, Mineo is a small village, actually, outside of Catania. And so as foreigners, you're not allowed to go into those camps, but people can come out. So we were able to meet with two men that were from Nigeria that were actually believers. And we were able to meet with them and share with them and really encourage them and kind of commission them to share the gospel within the camps. And really, it's better for them to go in and reach those people than for the white Americans to try to go into these camps and do that. And so that is just another part of the, it's not just looking for people that are open to hearing the gospel, but it's training those who already know Christ. Why are they there for 2 to 3 years, right? It takes a long time for them to get their legalization, their paperwork, so that they can be legal to travel on throughout Europe and work. So they have a lot of time on their hands.
And how are they to believe in whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And so this is why we're going there. And my role with this will be the evangelism and discipleship of the refugees to formulate team strategy to do this, to equip 2x2 to go out into the different areas and the different camps and throughout Sicily, meeting with refugees and also train disciples to make disciples. That's what we want to see. That's why we're going. We're going there to, we want this to be an exponential thing. So training disciples on how to make disciples, training people how to share their faith, training people to be obedient to the Word of God. That's what we are. That's our focus there. So we're going to work with short-term teams to accomplish this. We'll use those short-term teams to find people who are open, maybe find Christians, already Christians, that we can work with even more to build them up and disciple them. And then also work with the local church. We would love the local church to engage and embrace this effort as they have quite a
mission field of opportunity.
Yeah, quite an opportunity there. The evangelical footprint in Sicily is quite small, but we did find out that in Catania, it's one of the top two cities for an evangelical footprint there. But we were very disappointed to hear that it was only 2 or 3% of the population. So it's primarily Catholic, and so yeah.
There are currently 5 families that are in Catania right now, and so when we went on our vision trip, we were able to meet one of them. And we just went, when we went with the desire to find out, do we have a similar vision? What is their hope for the ministry that's there? And so that ministry is called Care for Catania. And the cool thing about this is that all of the families are kind of doing different things within the ministry, but yet all with the same goal, and it's to see people come to Christ. And so one of the cool things that I think that is really neat that's going on is there's a refugee center that the city of Catania actually gave a group of pastors and said, here, you can have this building, do what you want with it. So the pastors cleaned it up, and it gives the refugees a place to come in, and they can give them some education classes. One of the families that's on our team is doing a community garden. So they bring these guys in, and it gives them something to do that is productive, that gives them purpose, and it's a way to have time to build relationships with these folks.
My life changed when I was 26 years old and I read the Bible for the first time. And so my focus has been with men is getting their eyes into God's Word. If men can find and see God's Word and read it and understand it, that's going to change their lives. And the way that's going to change the world eventually. And so team expansion, we got connected with team expansion through throughout this training and things of this nature. And so team expansion also has a commitment for great commission fulfillment and evangelizing the nations. And we've been training with them for the last year and a half or so on studying the major movements of the world and how do we put those into practice in the field. Places like studying things like what happened in China in the 90s when there was a massive explosion of Christianity. People were coming to faith. Even more so, we're told, than after Christ died, through house church movement and things of this nature. And so team expansion mobilizes, trains, and coaches qualified workers to implement fruitful practices of church planting movements. And so we are just right on board with where they're at. And so it's a great fit for us. And Psalm 96, 2 and 3 reminds us of the refugee situation there, because it tell of his glory among the nations and his deeds among all the peoples. And so the Bible talks about the nations being present from all tribes, peoples, languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And that's in Revelation 7:9. And we just see that as an incredible opportunity here. Our commitment is to work towards making disciples who make disciples. We want to see this. We want to see spiritual ancestors for people, if you will. And so we're going to keep you also informed of how God is using this ministry. And we also desire to be a prayer partner with you, as we know that God governs the world by the prayers of his people.
So we're thankful for the opportunity to be here, because it's not without the prayers and the financial support of the church that we're able to do this. So the type of visa that we're going to be going on is not going to allow us to work. So people have asked, is Mark going to go there and build houses or do some type of real estate? And we're not going to be doing anything like that anymore. So we will be dependent upon the financial support of the church. So we have a prayer team, and we have a 301 people so far that have signed up to be on it, and they're committed to be praying for us. And so if you would like to be a part of that, we have a sign-up sheet at the back here. We would love to add you to that. And we're going to be sending prayer updates. So it'll be prayer updates for us, for our kids, for the ministry, and for our teammates and things like that that's going on in Catania. And so we have that in the back if you would like to be on our prayer list. And we send those out about once a month. Sometimes it'll be more often than that if need be. And our financial partnership, we are seeking monthly financial support and one-time gifts as well for our startup budget. We are praising the Lord truly for what he has done. Because we started out, our startup budget is $48,200, and we only need $5,800 left. When we first started this, that really seemed like almost an impossible mountain to climb. I mean, that we were just thinking, how is this going to happen, Lord? But we could see how he already orchestrated everything, so we just had to trust that he was going to do it. And in a fairly short amount of time, he has done that. And so we are so thankful for what has taken place. And so our monthly budget, we still need $1,644 left. We're getting there. We are 75% funded. So, but we are still in need of that monthly support. Our startup budget is for things, the visa and the permesso that you see up there. There's a lot of legal costs that go into first getting there, and then once you get there, in order to stay there. So that's something that will be somewhat of a significant cost, as well as our airfare to get us all there and our housing needs. One of the interesting things about Europe is that when you go to get an apartment there, they generally are not furnished. And not furnished means it's like a shell. There's nothing inside of it. So we will probably have to buy our kitchen cabinets, possibly our toilets. There really is nothing there. Light fixtures. So we have had to build that into our startup budget. So those are some of the things that will include. And our monthly budget is for things similar to what, you know, you'd be paying for here on a monthly budget. Our housing costs, health insurance, life insurance, ministry costs, and whatnot. So if you would desire to partner with us, I think you guys maybe have, if you picked up one of the programs when you came in, that there's a little card in there, and that explains how to give if you want to sign up for a recurring gift or a one-time gift. And if you'd just like to sign up to be on our monthly newsletter, which gives updates, that sign-up is in the back as well. So.
Well, this was a little over a year ago, we did a vision trip in Sicily, and we were able to have a dinner. We made a dinner called Domida for these gentlemen here, and Domida consists of chicken, peanut butter, and pumpkin, among other things. They loved it because they say, we're pastaed out. We got so much pasta, no more pasta.
They aren't used to eating all of those noodles. They said, we really miss rice. And they weren't necessarily complaining, but you know, we asked. We said, what is it like in the camps? And that was one of the things. They said, we're pretty tired of noodles.
One gentleman in this photo, he came to Christ a few weeks after we had left there. So we're grateful that that happened. And you and I can't fill the void in someone's spirit, but we do know the God that can. And by God's grace and your support, we are willing to go and be a voice to the nations. So we just want to say thank you for having us out here. We want to thank you for your support already, your prayerful support, your financial support. We're grateful that you're letting us share what God is doing, and so it's a real blessing to us to be here. So if you guys have any questions whatsoever, we could entertain those anytime, after, now, whatever.
So thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you very much.
God. Oh. All right. So, and Mark and Kathy, you did a great job. By the way, we gotta introduce the kids. So we gotta do this. So Grant, you gotta hold your hand up high. Just wave to everybody. There's Grant. Alex, you're next. Wave your hand. There you go. Good. There's your bowling winner today. And then finally Nia. Nia, wave your. Yep. There you go. Good. There's Nia. All right. So great family. So but we gotta share this because, and we didn't do this first service. I apologize, but this is something that's kind of neat. We always say our second service is more laid back. We just get to chill in the second service. So. Back in the back, my friend Brenda Baker is back there. And so here's what happened because, again, this was kind of a neat thing how it happened. Many of you know that Brenda works at Country Insurance, but Brenda also does a side job. She removes wallpaper, of which job I cannot imagine a worse one. So anyway, somehow Brenda met Mark because Mark is obviously in the real estate construction business, and so they cross paths. Coincidentally, Brenda's brother-in-law, Junior Schickel, obviously in the tiling business, I'm sure they had crossed paths as well. But one thing led to another, and while she was, I think, on a job at Mark's, the door opened for Mark to share with Brenda what they were thinking and what they were doing, and this fostered a conversation with our missions team. And of course, as you know, if Wes Becker gets his hands on anything that has to do with missions, we're taking this thing. It's going places. And so we're blessed to have Wes championing this as well. And so what really turned out to be, it really was God opening the proverbial door. And so with that, today we get this partnership. We have this opportunity for partnership, and we are grateful. Folks, I want you for a moment to think about this, because it's really kind of surreal when you think, and Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a successful man who has built a successful business and has a great family. They were attendees of Cornerstone Christian Academy, where my kids attend. They were living the normal Bloomington normal life, and as I understand, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, you have sold your business, closed your business, sold your house, right? Your house will be sold, basically leaving everything behind to move to Italy and foster new communications and save souls there in that country. It is an amazing story of what they are willing to do and the sacrifice that they are making, and we couldn't be more excited for you, but our excitement goes beyond excitement. It really becomes a partnership. And so that's really what we're all about today. Your ministry is something that's being embraced by the Covell Community Church, one of the many reasons why you're here today. We are grateful for you and what you're willing to do. And you are fulfilling the Great Commission as found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, one of our favorite passages in all of Scripture that we talk about a lot here at the Covell Community Church. So with that being said, you're going to have the opportunity to partner in several ways. First and foremost, we have a silver plate that's located all the way in the back of the church on an old table. That is going to be your opportunity to give to them as a one-time love offering. Our goal is to help them get closer to that number where they can be in Italy by April. That's the goal, because as Kathy said earlier, if you're there by April, you're going to have a lot more success in winning souls and meeting people and getting acclimated with the culture. So our goal is to do that, and your giving will help accomplish that. In addition, Cam and I, the minute we heard about this, we jumped on board. We said, we're going to be monthly contributors to this family, so now we are partners with them, and we are giving to them financially monthly. As we said, we'll continue to do so until you come back to the States, and even then, I'll probably still do it. So we're excited about that. If you want to be a monthly financial supporter of them and with them, let them know. They have instruction on how to do that, and it is truly a fulfilling and rich thing for us to be able to partner with them. Lastly, and this is important, and it segues perfectly, this is our pastoral prayer time. And we would be remiss if we didn't say that the first thing that we have to do is we have to pray for them. And what God has done for them has been pretty amazing, but we can do so much more to allow God to do so much more through us. And so we're going to have our time of pastoral prayer. We're going to be praying for this great family, for their success, and for their opportunities to go overseas and fulfill Christ's great commission. But I also want to bring up a few other things of note before we get to our pastoral prayer. That is some house things here. We have some people who are not well. We have some people, obviously, who are battling sickness. I love saying my coworker now. She was always my congregant before, but now she's my coworker, Donna Schultz. She's my secretary at Beck Memorial Home, one of our many, and she's sick. That's what happens when you're a grandma and you take care of sick kids. And she was taking care of sick kids this week, and she got it. So pray for her as she's been down with it for a day. In addition, Roy Groves, he had knee replacement. I believe, as rumor has it, he's coming home today, and he's pretty excited about that. I went to see him a couple times there at Heritage Manor, great place, but not a place for Roy to stay long term. So he's coming home hopefully today. In addition, there are some other things going on. I want to mention that Velma's going to find out her results of her updated progress with beating cancer. We feel like she's already done that, but God is taking care of her. She'll find out Wednesday. And I do have some good news. Jonathan Thompson got his results back. He is currently cancer-free, and so it is not back. And I want to mention this very quickly. I don't know that we knew this in our leaders' meeting, but the rare form of cancer that Jonathan has, and this is a young man with a brain tumor, was removed. He's obviously, in fact, let me tell you where Jonathan's at today. He is in Minunk preaching at a church as part of his pastoral training. Jonathan is going to become a pastor. We're excited about that. Lippick family, you may not know this, but this is a pastor factory in Covell. So I know it seems crazy. We don't have an Applebee's yet, but we make pastors. So with that said, that's a good thing. But Jonathan is cancer-free. But here's what we learned in the leaders' meeting, and we were all, I think, shocked when we heard this, and that is that his form of cancer, they literally say, he has a 7 to 10 year life prognosis. Didn't know this. It came as a shock to all of us. And so we all at that point, I think we just kind of embraced this and said, not Jonathan. So that's how we unite in prayer and pray for him and his well-being. That's what we can do. Seen so many miracles among us for people who have been healed of this terrible disease, and we're grateful for it. So with that said, a lot of verbiage there. If you want to join us here at the altar for pastoral prayer, please do. And let me tell you this, guys and gals, we're going to be praying for you intently during this time. So feel free to join us if you wish. Father, we thank you for this amazing opportunity that you've provided the Lippick family. And we realize that you constantly qualify the called, and indeed they have been called. We are grateful that the power of the Holy Spirit witnessed to them and allowed them to see and hear what your directives are for them. And I thank you that they are attentive to him. Today, Father, I pray that you will empower them to go and save lost souls and change this great nation and help those people who need you more than ever. I pray that you'll help the Lippicks to help them to find Jesus Christ. I pray today that you'll be with all of our missionaries. I pray that you would help them to accomplish the things that you've put before them, the task of disseminating your great message, of sharing the perfect word that you have given us. And I pray that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit. Our job, our task here in Little Covell, Illinois, is to help them financially and prayerfully and spiritually in all that we do. And I pray that we will not stop lifting them up in prayer. I pray that our care will extend, not only to them, but to all of our missionaries that we serve each and every day. And I pray that you will keep this great family safe. I pray that you will give them power that they never knew that they had. And I pray that you will put them in front of people that need you more than ever. And I thank you for each and every one of them, Mark and Kathy, Nia, Grant, Alex. The impact that they're going to have is just unbelievable, and we're grateful for it. I pray today that you would help us to say this. We want to be disciples, and we want to be used wherever you put us. And I pray today that you will put us in front of your word. This is where we learn. This is how we become more like you and your son. And I pray today that we would long to do this. Fill us with love, your love, that allows us to reach out and care about others. And I pray today that this would be our driving force, is to care about those who feel like they're uncared for. And I ask today that you would put this in our hearts. For those who are sick, and there are many, I pray for healing for them. I pray that you would deliver them from their time of distress. I pray that for disease that is out there, we know that you beat it. And we know that when you're in charge of it, we can't lose to it. And so I pray that you will heal these people and help these people for whatever your will is for them. We trust in you to help them. And today I thank you for every blessing that we have for being in this church and for making us a strong church family that can fellowship with you, not only weekly, but daily. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, folks, as is customary, we close with a song, and this is a good one. So let's stand and sing this. Well, as I said in the first service, I said, you know, there's a guy that just, he does so much of our video back there, and you saw Mark making eye contact with Dan. Everybody needs a tech guy. We're blessed to have two of them, and we are truly grateful. So Dan kind of functions as our tech guy, but he's also like the closet DJ. And so what happens is we give Dan full rein and John as well. And they kind of feel the sermon out, and they feel the message out, and then they just pick the song. And we just give them full rein to do that. And so I had a laugh in the first service when I saw this, that, man, Dan, that's a good one. Start a fire, because the Lippicks are on fire. And God has started a fire in all of you, and we are grateful that he has. And we're grateful that you responded to it. So you have our prayers, you have our blessings, but more than anything, you're going to have our total support as we find that we have to show you and give you through his written word. And that we take seriously. And by the way, if you're ever wondering about the Covell Community Church, let me tell you, we love God's Word. That is it. That is it for us. So we love it. So with that being said, before we go to prayer, a couple of last things. Remember, got a love offering in the back. If you want to make a one-time donation, and I hope you do, to the Lippick family so they can get to Italy. We got to get them there by April. Feel free to do so. Silver plate back table. In addition, you can become a monthly partner with them as well. We encourage you to do that. And then lastly, many of you may not know, we got a bowling party. And that means we are going to go bowling. And the Lippicks are going to go bowling. Now, here is what I'm encouraging you to do. Again, it's not about competition. Well, really it is. But I want you, here's your prizes. I want you to have fun. What I really want to be careful with is nobody get hurt. Please, nobody get hurt. This is, you know, there's a guy going today, he's got a bad back, and I'm scared to death. And so just be careful out there because, you know, as we get older, we tend to forget that maybe we probably shouldn't be doing these things. So anyway, God be with all of you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done, especially for the Olympics. We're grateful. We thank you that they responded to your call so favorably. So many souls are going to be changed because you have called them to do so. And I thank you that they are willing to fulfill that great commission. We all have a commission, and that commission is to follow your word and to reach lost souls and to bring them to you. As you have saved us, so I pray that we will go out and serve others and help us to love them unconditionally and help us to grow with them and to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ and help us to allow the Holy Spirit to accomplish this. Thank you for your mercy and your tenderness and your love for us. Be with us and keep us safe, especially as we go through balls at pins. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.